let's discuss for a few minutes two halachos. This week's parasha, I want to discuss with you two mitzvahs that appear in this week's parasha. Abayisai, let's learn about.
One second. The tagim, does that have to be a man or can it be a woman?
What?
Can you have a woman take it, put it in?
Can a woman write a mezuzah? It's a better question. Could a woman write a mezuzah? The answer is technically yes. Because women are chayiv in mezuzah. The chayiv in mezuzah, the more is beferish. If you're chayiv in the mitzvah, you can do the mitzvah. Can women write tefillin? No. Because women are parted from tefillin. Can women write a sefer Torah? Technically yes. Because women are chayiv in the mitzvahs. Okay, that's a separate issue. Obviously, the minhag b'zman hazeh is that women b'zman hazeh do not write sefer Torah to mezuzahs. I don't know all the pratim. I don't know the details. But obviously, the law of the writing the tagin is the same status as writing the sefer. The women do not do it. Women do not do it. Is it due to technicalities or due to chumras? It's probably a mixture of both. Okay, let's go further. Let's discuss today. There are two mitzvahs in this parasha. I want to discuss with you briefly things that are new to me, interesting ideas about these two mitzvahs. We do not necessarily know all the details about these mitzvahs. They're a little bit more mysterious, a little more abstract. The mitzvah of Lesilbash Isha Lo Yekli Gever Al Isha. A man may not wear women's clothing, and a woman may not wear man's clothing. And the other mitzvah I want to talk about is the mitzvah of Micah. There's a mitzvah to put on your roof a fence. Okay, so these mitzvahs are a little bit abstract. But let's discuss some of the different issues when it comes to Lo Yulbash Kli Gever Al Isha. First thing, what?
That's very real.
It's okay, we're gonna discuss it. Let's go step by step. Let's first discuss this first mitzvah, some of the interesting ideas of Lo Yulbash. I'm telling you we're coming from the Sefer we use many times. Oitzer Machmadim. I never did this chapter, and there's also in Das Konisa, he also has a whole chapter on Lo Yilbash. First thing first, look at the difference the way the Pasuk applies the prohibition to a man versus how it applies it to a woman. When it comes to a man, the Pasuk says Lo Yihiyeh, it may not be a kli, a utensil of a gather of a man, Alisha. There's no mention of dressing, there's no mention of getting dressed. The mention is only a utensil that is designated for a man should not be on a woman. When it comes to a man, it says v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha. A totally different change of expression. It says that a gever should not dress in a garment that is designated for a woman. Now, if you take this at face value, without going to just take it at face value, that implies that a woman is allowed to dress in a garment that is designated for a man. A woman can wear pants. Okay, now, we'll get to the Rambam. What?
No, I don't see that.
Okay, why? It says, lo yihyeh kli, a utensil. So you want to tell him that a garment is a utensil. Ain't no chinami. That's the halacha. But let us first emphasize the difference. It's a very, and the Mepharshim take note of this difference. They struggle with this difference. A kli, if the Torah wants to tell you you're dealing with a garment, in the same pasuk, why are you switching words? A kli normally refers to a utensil. What's a utensil? A weapon. Okay, you go out to war. A kli does not, technically it includes a garment. But that's not the standard word you use for a garment, especially when in the same pasuk itself, the pasuk acknowledges that there's such a word called a garment and only selects that word for a man. So you take the pasuk at face value, you can come to the conclusion that a woman is allowed to wear, let's make believe, they live in the modern world, so in this world, women wear pants all the time, among the goyim. Okay, so let's just focus on the goyim. But let's make believe we live in a world where there's something called pants and a skirt. And a woman never wears pants. Never. Unheard of. So would there be a prohibition for a woman to wear pants? No. Doesn't say. All it says, lo yia kli, a utensil of a man, al isha. Maybe a woman is allowed to dress like a man. A woman is allowed to wear pants. A woman is allowed to wear clothes that are set aside for a man. Now, obviously, that's not the halacha. That's not the halach, because we make a joke, we compare one to the other. And when it comes to Yilbash Gever Sima, so what then does the pasuk mean? It means, as what it says in the Targum, Yonason ben Uziel, where his uncle, we have two Targum, Unculus and Targum, maybe means weapons. A woman should not take upon herself a utensil that's designated for a man, which in fact the Targum says a woman is not allowed to wear weapons. Combat. In ancient times, until modern times, there was no such thing. Even today, it's also like that to some degree today, is that women did not go out to battle in war. Okay, so having a sword or any type of a shield or wearing armor, or today having a gun, carrying a weapon, a gun, was not something a woman ever did.
In Israel,
it's a new thing, and even in Israel, it's still not yet law. It's still debatable. Yeah.
But if we concentrate on pants, why only pants? Women wear jackets.
Well, there are men's jackets and women's jackets. Yeah, pants. I'm talking about traditionally. I'm not talking about today. I understand. Is a garment that was only meant for men. I know, today there's no such thing, but we can relate to it, okay? I have a shirt, there are shirts that are designed for men, some designed for men, but pants is a type of garment in the olden days that was only worn by a man. Women did not wear pants. Didn't exist, such a messias. So I know, today you can, but let's focus on that for a moment, yeah? Call Hamil Mulchemes Mitzvah Afilu Kala Michupasa. So the Gemara says, by Mulchemes Mitzvah, Kala Michupasa goes out to war. So it simply means she bears arms. She goes to the front lines with a gun and fights. Is that what it means? So some say no. It means she goes to support. She goes there to provide food, to provide clothing, but she does not actually fight in battle. Some say that. Let's say push comes to shove, does she go out to battle? What about Yoel, Eshes Chever Hakeni? Some bring Uriah. How did she kill Sisera? She took the peg of the tent. Why couldn't she do it? Take a gun, take a weapon, take a sword, and chop off his head. Not allowed to. I'm not allowed to. I can't take his. He was sleeping. It was very simple. He fell asleep. She gave him, he was very tired. He was on the run. And she made him even more tired by giving him cheese and milk. He was fast asleep. His weapons were right there. He was carrying a sword. She can take his sword and chop his head off. Instead, what did she do? She took the peg of the tent and she thrust it into his head. Why? So the Mepharshim say, because she's not allowed to take his sword. What did Yehudis do?
Chopped off the head.
With what? With a sword?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know a better way. So some of Farshim want to say it's a pasuk. It says she took the peg of the tent, she thrust it into his head and he died. That is a raya, that she's forbidden from taking his sword or a sword and cutting off his head, because that would be a violation. When it says here in this pasuk, lo yeh, Targum says this, lo yeh kli gever al isha, you may not take a weapon of a man, which is, means a weapon, and it may not be upon a woman, even in battle. That's a chiddush, so to say such a thing. But that is one approach. Now, when it comes to men, it says and introduces an entire new concept called wearing clothing. What's wearing clothing all about? So this touches upon the idea of tsnius, of, and the pasuk goes on to say it's a to'eva, it's an abomination. What's the abomination? So it appears that some of the chinuch learns it has a din of kedusha. I'm reading according to the ain sofik ki im yu malbusha anoshim anoshim shavim. This is the words of the chinuch. There's no doubt that this is the time of the mitzvah. That if men and women wear the same clothing, yisarvu elu im elu, tamit, they would mingle, taruvis, umal ha'aret zima. And that would lead to lewdness, to promiscuity. It would lead to zima, to znus. So the time of the mitzvah is separation, to keep the genders apart. Separation of man, segregation. That's the time of the mitzvah. That's why there has to be separate types of clothing for men and women. It's a technique that the Torah employed to keep men and women apart to avoid ta'arubis, which will lead to arayos. Gili arayos, all different forms of arayos. That's the time of the mitzvah. Now that's clearly true when it comes to a man wearing the garment of a woman. The chinuch and almost all the rishonim say that by extension, if that's the time of the mitzvah, then applies to women. Women may not wear the clothing of men. So why then is there a shinui in the way the Torah expressed itself? So here's an incredible chiddush of the rishonim. It's totally new to me. Who says this? This is said, I don't even know who says, but everyone says the same thing. I don't remember who says this. That when are you chayiv for the isur deraisa? A man, Chazal say, has a much bigger yetzahara for arayus than women. It's a mitzvah. Physically, it's true, and psychologically, it's true. A man has a bigger nisayon in these matters generally. Okay, you may have women that are, you know, hormones play a factor as well, obviously, but generally, men struggle with arayos more than women. Mimela, a man, the Torah says, you over on the iser de arayos the moment you put on the clothing. The moment you put on a woman's clothing to disguise, to make believe that you're a woman, to blur the boundaries, the moment in the basement you try on a woman's garment, you already have this daraisa. Because that already opens up your mind. You begin to be maharher, what it's like to be with women, to disguise yourself as women in order to satisfy your tivus. And that, you've done a maisa by wearing a woman's garment, which is causing you arousal. You're already over the isa daraisa. A woman, on the other hand, if she tries on men's clothing and she begins to fantasize what it's like to be with men in disguise, she's not over. She has not violated any prohibition. The first time she comes in violation is when she now goes out and mingles among men. So for a woman, there is a delayed violation of the halacha. And for a man, it's instant. And that's the reason why the pasuk was mishane in the way it expressed the prohibition. A woman, it says, lo yihye kli gever alisha. A kli gever should not be upon a woman. Okay, that's vague what that means. But we go further. A man, v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha. A man may not even dress himself in the garment of a woman. Instantly. Now we're able to imply, according to Chazal, backwards, that when a woman puts on a garment of a man in order to discard herself like a man, to mingle, the prohibition is not instant. She's not going to be chayav malchus instantly. It's only when she goes to the next step and she goes to a location where there are men and she fools them because she's dressed like a man and they don't suspect what she's doing, then it is triggered the prohibition of wearing man's clothing. So this is the top. Yeah.
They had the women in our area, the women that want to go to the gym or they want to run the jog, and they have pants.
On,
yeah, but they have a skirt on.
Okay, we're going to come to that in a few moments. We'll come to that in a few moments. Now, halacha l'maisa, no. Halacha l'maisa, we're very... Listen, you'll always find the machmir, but halacha l'maisa, it's mutter. Right. Halacha l'maisa, let's go a step further. Okay, so this is the first time. The Igatam, according to the chinuch, and according to many others, is taruvis. We want there to be a separation between men and women in order to the chnalu de zima. That's the primary reason. And everything follows from there. And therefore, there's a kulus and chumras. The chumras are anytime a man, there's any type of blurring of the genders, it's a problem. When you're dealing with things where there's no possible confusion between the two, then there would be no prohibition. I'll give you an example. This is a shadow. Everyone talks about, what about a woman's umbrella, if there is such a thing anymore? Yeah. It used to be, I don't know, you talk about this, what?
Parasol.
What is that?
Parasol?
It's a woman's umbrella? Parasol.
It was for the sun.
For the sun? Okay, today in this Haredi neighborhood, that we live in, men will only have black umbrellas. Like a Haredi will not go out of the house without a black umbrella. Because to have a blue umbrella, or have a red umbrella, a pink umbrella.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a lady's umbrella. I prefer using not black umbrellas for one simple reason, because I know it's mine. I know it's my umbrella. If I go and have a black umbrella and I leave it in shul, I come back, is this my umbrella? If I have a crazy umbrella that's blue and white, then I don't care who's who do I someone's looking at me, who cares? I don't care. All I know is good for me is I know it's my umbrella. If I leave my umbrella in shul and I come back, who else would have this umbrella? I know what my umbrella looks like. What? Someone's going to take it? Okay. But if it's a black umbrella, you go to the lost and found in yeshiva, so they have the 100 umbrellas, to all this, all black umbrellas, right? So if you have a yellow umbrella, a red umbrella, it's viewed today in our society as a lady's umbrella. Okay? If a woman goes out with a black umbrella, it's viewed as a man's umbrella. Is there a prohibition for a man to take a lady's umbrella in the street when it's raining? So the Rambam says, Beferush, if you're using it not as a malbush, just to protect yourself from the sun or the rain, it's mutter. Mutter lechatchila. When it's clear as day, the Rambam was, it's tarubis. When it's clear as day, first of all, there are many reasons to make. No, it's not a malbush. It's not a malbush. It's not a garment. It's not a garment. It is a
it's a kli, but it's not.
See, that's the thing. The fact that it says with malbush by men, we are applying this across the board. That's what's so difficult. That's what's the struggle of this. But that's what makes this pasuk so bizarre, so abstract. The pasuk here really, there are three abstractions. Number one, it says by a woman lo yihye kli. By a man, it says yilvish, wear a similar garment. And then it says it's a to'eva. That's a very powerful word, to'eva. And the word to'eva is a reserved word in the lexicon of the Torah for arayos, generally speaking. So how do we put together all the pieces of the puzzle? A kli, lo yiyeh, lo yilbash, to'eva. Most of the Rishonim work with the principle that you basically make them. It has to be only when it's begeder to'eva. Taruvis ish v'isha. In taruvis ish v'isha, it has to be a garment. An umbrella is not a garment. It's not in the class of a garment. So even if you're using a thing which is miyuchid, only for a woman, Haganah, the Rambam says, it's for protection, it's for shelter. You don't call you wearing an umbrella, it's your garment. Go get buy a car, you know, they tell you otherwise. What car? Biggest issue, go ask a car salesman. The biggest issue in buying a car for 90% of the population is not if it's a Toyota or a Honda or a Tesla or this. It's the color of the car. Okay? This is like the most important thing. The color, who cares about the color? What's under the hood? How much are you paying this? No, the color is like your clothing. It's like when you go in the car, it's like you're being dressed in a suit. You gotta look right. You have to look right. The color, I know a man, he said to me, he said that his wife, my wife, that was a very big issue. I couldn't get the car until my wife decided the color of the car. It took a week for her to decide what color the car is. So you know, a car is not a malbush. It's not a malbush. But yet there's a perception. There's a perception that it is a malbush, right? That car, the color of a car, an umbrella is also a perception. It's a lady's umbrella. It's my malbush. But technically, you know, who cares about perception? Who cares? Halacha, sometimes halacha cares about perception, and sometimes halacha does not care about perception. All the parties can seem to say, I'm sure you'll find the machmir, but what I've come across, running through this very quickly, both in this sefer and in this sefer, is all the parties can seem to say, when it comes to the prohibition of lesilbash, it's not a matter of perception, believe it or not. There is a technical requirement of a garment. And if it's not a garment, then it's mutter. Umbrellas, male or mutter. I'll give you another incredible example. Halacha l'maaseh, shoes. Lady shoes or men's shoes. Is there a prohibition? Mutter.
If you go in high heels?
What? Technically speaking, yeah, you can. That's what it says. That's what, because in halacha, believe it or not, okay, you have to look at all the opinions. But I can't give you names, I can't memorize everything so quickly. But in halacha, study the sources, shoes is not called technically a malbush. Shoes are shoes. Okay? Hamalbish arumim, it's something called Malbish arumim, then there's something called Osnikol Tsarki, Hashem gave me shoes. Shoes is outside of the framework of the Torah's description of Malbish. We may refer to it in the 21st century as a garment. It's all false. You file your tax returns. What industry do you work in? If you work in the shoe industry, so maybe you have to file that you work in the industry called clothing, whatever it is. But in the Torah, the arayis, the shoes are not called the malbush. Lamay nafgamina, since the Torah does employ the word la yilbash, gever simlas isha, if a woman wants to wear man's boots, it might not be, you know, the best thing for shidduchim for a woman to wear man's boots, but if a woman technically wears man's boots, there is no technical violation of lo yilbash. If a man, it's pouring rain and it's Shabbos, you want to go to shul and your sister happens to have a good pair of boots and they're really women's boots, no question about it, but who's looking so closely anyway, right? In the snow, in the mud, in the rain, you want to put them on, you want to wear them, there's no prohibition. It's mutter. It's mutter. Even boots, that's on your body, mamish. On your body, it's technically mutter. Yeah.
Bro, now how about items of clothing which are
unisex?
Yeah. Like the shame.
Okay, so the Rambam says something very powerful, which all the poskim, the Rambam adds a few words. He's the only Rishon that says this. He adds some words that are very powerful, which completely make open up many leniencies. It all clothing, he says, all depend on the minog hamedina. He adds these words. So the Rambam says that the halacha changes based on society. That's the old dilemma. When does halacha change and when does halacha remain the same? So he says clothing, it all depends on the minhag. In one generation, whatever you wear, right? Like today, so today by the goyim, women wear pants.
They started when the men started having makeup.
Oh, it's another shayla, makeup. That's not, see, the makeup is another, we'll get to in a second. It's another very good example, makeup. But today there is no question about it. There's a multi-million dollar industry of women wearing pants. There's nothing to talk about. So a Haredi woman, now, what do you want to say? You want to say, if you're in an Orthodox Jewish community, okay, let's talk about Orthodox, okay? Not modern Orthodox women wear pants, but let's say in the very, very right wing Orthodox community, and it's unheard of for a woman to wear pants. It's unheard of. So if a woman wearing pants, is that a violation? Do we view it and look in your community, or do we view it in relative to society at large? That's a big dilemma. That's a very big dilemma. There's no answer for. Some say yes, some say not. You look at your community. Your community is unacceptable to do this. So if you're going to wear pants now, you're in trouble.
Yeah, but the pants is not men's pants.
It's so what? Even though it's a to'eva. Goyim do this. Listen, goyim do all types of abominations. Mishkav Zohar. That's a to'eva. So who cares what the goyim do? Goyim had, they have special women's pants. In your community, a woman doesn't wear pants. So if a woman now to go buy $100 pair of pants and to walk around at home with a pair of pants might indeed be a violation of the raisa of lo yial isha al isha a garment. Or maybe not. Listen, you're not going to go walk in the street with it. Okay, but among your family, you want to wear pants at home. You want to wear pants among your family. So jewelry is not a mal. Is jewelry called the malbush luchar or not? Is jewelry called the malbush? You have to come back and define. If something is called the malbush, then you're in trouble. I don't know. Maybe you're right. It all depends on jewelry.
Female watch on Shabbos.
Oh, very good. Excellent. My husband's watch broke. So his wife says, here, take my watch. You go, you need a watch. You're giving a drasha and shul. Take my watch. You can wear my watch. My mother wore my father's watch. My father needed a watch. My mother wanted to get a watch. I don't remember what happened. It's very common, right? So the other way around. A woman needs a watch. They take my watch. You wear my watch. Who's watch? Who's looking? Anyone looking so closely? So is a watch called a malbush or is it called a tachshit? I think the Rambam says a tachshit. They do use the term an adi, a day that tachshitin, if I'm not mistaken, have the same status as clothing. a tachshit is nichlal in the term in halacha as a garment. They do mention that. But shoes, he says, no, shoes not. You'll tell me that's not true anymore. Today's shoes are also called tachshitin. So maybe you're right. Maybe today's shoes change. And this is why I'm trying to throw this out. There's so many variables. And there's so much abstraction. Right. This halacha of Silbash is a very, very abstract. It's very, very hard to pinpoint and to say categorically, this is awesome. It's very, very hard. You see all over a lot of coolest. Okay, makeup. Today, when you go on television, today, Dan Rather never went on television without makeup. Okay, he had his own makeup kit. When he went across the world, he had a study. I read an article, he had a makeup kit. All men today, they make up. So if you go, who told me this? Someone went talking, he was interviewed on, you interviewed? And they put him on makeup. One day, it's a Shiloh, if he's allowed to do it. Answer the is yes. Makeup is not a malbush. It's not a malbush. It's not a tachshit. It's not a malbush. It's not a tachshit. In society, it's accepted. It's done. It has to be done because you're being presented. There's no difference. Men and women, that's done professionally. That's done. So, l'chayra, there's really no iser. Dyeing your hair. I have a very, very big paisek. Men are allowed to dye their hair today. If a man has a good reason, good for your job, or shidduchim, or all these different reasons, I have a very big paisek.
So you can wear a
shaykh. Very paisek. Wear a toupee, l'chari, yeah. L'chari for a job, l'chari, yeah. Rabbi Rice spoke about it. He didn't say, he only talked about it. The only issue yeah, was you have to wear a yarmulke on top of your toupee. But wearing a toupee itself is mutter. Shaila is you have to wear on top of the, if you wear a toupee, you don't even have to wear a yarmulke. Adrab said, it's an Eitzah, he said, that if you can't wear a yarmulke, if you're in a place...
40 years ago, 50 years ago, he was in the Board of Ed.
Yeah.
And they didn't allow yarmulke, so he wore
a toupee. Okay, so that's these are issues. Okay, now another issue which comes into play, another very important issue. First, another issue, let's see, is what about Bitsina? No one is watching, you're all alone. You're all alone at home. Can a man wear, like, you don't have what to wear, so you want to wear a woman's garment. It's all you have. One of your husband has his wife's shirt. It's all he has. Or vice versa. Bitsina. So that's, there's a leniency. Because the pasuk says to'eva, and the pasuk also says men and women, which Chazal, the Rishonim, very interestingly used to extract that we take into consideration the reason, taruvis, you'll come to mingle, men and women will come to mingle. That's only where there's a possibility of mingling. That's only in public, only outside. But privately, no one's watching. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. All I have over here in the house is a woman's garment. Can I put it on? Or a man only, or a woman, vice versa. No one is watching. Is there a violation of the indirects of a man doing this? It's machlekes apoyskim. Machlekes rishonim, if it's also bitsina, or it's only also when you go in public. Pajamas. Okay, today, I don't know all the details, but what I read over here is that many women, many Haredi women, their pajamas are pants. Women have pants pajamas, they're like men. So that's the style. So pants, even among a community where you don't, it's unheard of, but it's totally bitsina. No one's going out into the street wearing pajamas. It's totally bitsina. So is there a prohibition for a woman to wear pants, pajamas, which are in the form of pants? Many people say it's mutter. You're doing it, you're not doing it, it's bitsina. Number two, first of all, this is the world, the whole world does this. This is the way they are manufactured today. And the Rambam says clearly that it all depends on the minhag ha'olam. And also it's keeping you warm. You're not doing it. You're not, the Rambam says, if you're doing it to keep you warm, you're not doing it to go and mix among men and women. So you have, everything is going for you. Everything is working in your favor. It's bitsina. It's derech ha'olam. You're doing it to keep yourself warm. You're not doing it. You're not mixing with men. There are grounds. There are very strong grounds to be lenient. You want to find the machmir, you'll always find the machmir. Okay, you'll always find the machmir. But you can't go tell a person that you're doing his asr when you have all these reasons in the Rambam and the Rishonim coming to tell you that technically it's mutter. Okay, you talk about going to the gym. So people go, the women go to the gym, so they wear, they go to the beach. They go swimming. So they do bitsnius, so they wear. They have, I don't know, their pants, and on top of that, so all of these things are mutter because you're doing it again. You're doing it for tznius. You're not doing it. You're not doing it to for purpose of tznius. You're not doing it for taruvis, and especially since it's unusual to do it like this. For higher standards of tznius, it certainly is grounds to be makel. Okay, the next thing which is very, very fascinating, and that is, we have time over here, is what the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says. How does he touch his pasuk here? He says that a woman may not bring upon her the kli gever. A woman may not wear talis and tefillin. Talis and tefillin. Woman of the wall, okay? So Farish of Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. How can you look at these pictures of these women fighting with the men? They're always fighting. Always they show the women fighting with the men. They're all wearing talis and tefillin. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says talis and tefillin is the malbush of a man. Why is that so? Everyone struggles. Why? It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and the mitzvah saseh shazman grama, if a woman wants to do it, she can do it. So why is it the malbush of a man? So this is a law. Big Michal Bashohol wore a tefillin. One thing which really caught my attention here is very fascinating. Why was she allowed to wear tefillin? Because if a woman wears tefillin, she can mingle among men. Because it's a problem. A woman wearing a talis, since generally women are exempt and they don't do it, if a woman wears talis and tefillin, she can disguise herself as a man. You go to the shul, you see someone sitting in shul with talis and tefillin. You go to an Orthodox shul. So you have a haven, she's a woman? Of course she's a man. Of course she's a man. You see someone wearing. You're not, but she's really fooling you. You couldn't, Michal Bashol couldn't fool anyone. When you saw Michal Bashol, you knew this was Michal Bashol. Why? For many reasons. First of all, she is the wife of the king. She was married to David, or she's the daughter of Shaul, or she was exquisitely beautiful, the most beautiful. So therefore, Michal Bashol couldn't fool anyone.
So beautiful woman could be.
She was extraordinarily beautiful. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. So when someone looked at Michal Bashol, there was no mistake that she's a woman. Such a type of woman for sure can wear a talis and tefillin. So it says here, a woman who's not so beautiful, and by her wearing talis and tefillin can cause you to doubt, is this a man or the woman? Go on the train many times. I look at people. I don't know. Is this a man or a woman? I can't tell. Yes. I can't tell, right? So if they're wearing talis and tefillin, oh, so for sure it's a man.
So
if you're a type of a person where you can't really tell, and now you have talis, and now you wear talis and tefillin, that's a to'eva. You're using an object of mitzvah to disguise yourself as a woman, the mingling of the genders. That's not a good idea. But a woman that cannot be misunderstood as a man because she's a woman, she's a famous person. Who's going to Hillary Clinton? who's going to mistake her for a man? Ivanka Trump. That's a very good example. So such a type of person, would you believe it? This is a Haredi sefer. This stuff is by a Yerushalmi. Is a real Haredi person. Such a type of woman is in the category of Michal Bashol, and she would not have the prohibition of wearing talis and tefillin. It's only because the average woman is not in that category, and by her wearing talis and tefillin, she's entering into a world where there is a degree of confusion. She can mislead you. She is prohibited.
It had to be talking before she got married, because how would you put tefillin on a shaykh?
Okay, another very interesting question. Okay, these are all dilemmas, which there's no clear answer. Let's say a woman has a four-cornered garment. Men, a kapata. You buy a frock. Anyone here wear a frock? Any Rashim is here amongst us over here? You wear a frock? Anyone here, Ramey, you wear a frock?
A
Bekacha that's four corners? No, they have no corners. They have no corners. But a litvak, they have a frock and it's cut. The roiv is split. It has four headlights in the back. There are four corners. So it's a problem. No.
Frock?
No, probably Bekesha. But no four corners. I don't even know what he wore. But in any event, if it has four, it's a problem. So that's why they manufacture all of the frocks with one round corner, so because it's really a problem. A woman, now, also, there are all the types of things that can be problematic. Scarves, you know, if they wear it in a certain way. Women, you know, style, fashion, it's always changing. I have no doubt there are certain garments that women wear which have four corners. You can technically have a garment, a woman's garment, that has four corners, whatever the styles of fashion are of the day. Let's say a woman has a garment that has four corners. Is it chayiv in tzitzis? Is it chayiv in tzitzis? It's a very big shaila. Some are medayik from this pasuk that there's something called a simlas isha. And being that an isha is an incredible chiddush, an unbelievable yisoid. Being that an isha is parted from tzitzis because it's a mitzvah say shazman grama, a beged that is miyuchad for an isha, a simlas isha with four corners, be'etzem is parted from tzitzis. A pink talus is parted from tzitzis because it's a garment. It's a garment that's miyuchid for an isha. It's pink, right? Men don't wear pink. Men wear blue. A pink talus with the stripes, right? With black stripes, color stripes. So it's a talus, a feminine talus. It's miyuchid for an isha. And an isha is a woman that's a mitzaseh shazman grama. So the simlas isha is potter from tzitzis. If she wears it on Shabbos, she's mechal Shabbos. Berisha sorabim, because she's carrying on Shabbos. It's amazing. It's amazing. Some say, no, that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk means a garment that's miyuchid that a woman wears. It's not teaching you a din tzitzis. It's teaching you a side halacha that there's something called there's a ksus yoim and ksus laila. Garments are meant for the day. Garments are meant for the night. But when it comes to garments meant by day, we don't differentiate. We don't discriminate. Torah doesn't discriminate between men and women. We don't discriminate between garments of men and women. That's four corners yichayiv. Male or women have to be careful. They have to be very careful. If they have a garment that has four corners, you can't wear it. You have to go bring it to the tailor and to cut out one corner. So shushan mechayim and tzitzis. Halacha lemaisa. Or no, we learn from this pasuk. There's something called the simlas isha, and being that an isha is pater because as simlas isha is man grama, her simla is also pater. Like ksus laila is pater, ksus isha is pater. That is a derivative that we learn from this pasuk. So all of these things are abstract. I didn't give you any really clear anything. Everything is weapons, women wearing a weapon, women with tallis and tefillin, woman's clothing four corners, makeup, woman putting up umbrellas, shoes, tachshitin, doing, and then there's a whole very big, very, to show you how complex this is, Purim, right? On Purim. As a woman, you're allowed to wear women's clothing on Purim? Show us if a simcha you can do so. What? It's an Isra d'oraisa, you're playing with fire. Oh, it's Purim today. Oh, it's Sofik Chazer? Oh, today I'm going to eat Chazer. It's Purim today. Because on Purim you can eat Chazer. I can eat Treif. I'll shave off my pace today because today's Purim. I can do it. What are you, crazy? It's a d'oraisa. All of a sudden on Purim a man can wear women's clothing. What's going on over here? There's something very abstract about the mitzvah of men wearing women's clothing, women wearing some clothing. It has its own set of rules, which are very confusing, on a very abstract, which require much more understanding to find the guidelines because of all of these ideas that we have just tried to touch upon, at least to throw out what it's all about. Okay, we'll stop here.